They were my dearest friends. Always have been. Always will be.
Pepper
and Christopher Farringford. I once proposed to her, but she told me she loved me far too much to marry me. A month later, she went to the altar with my best friend, and I spent the next 5 years puzzling out how a beautiful girl could possibly love someone too much to marry them. I went abroad. China, Australia, East Africa. I enjoyed good times, experienced the ebb and flow of fortune. Never married. Never forgot Petal. Then one day, I grew sick of traveling. I'd made money, but I didn't have much I wanted to do with it. So I sent a telegram to Sea Point, Bembridge, the Isle of Wight, on the off chance that the Farringfords still lived there. They did, with 4 children. She was lovelier than ever. It was Christmas time. December the 19th, as a matter of fact. The strangest Christmas I've ever known. My story doesn't directly concern the gorgeous Petal or her husband, Chris. It concerns a mother. And all my days, my memory. I shall never, never forget her.
In our series, Beyond Midnight, we present A Time for Thunder, written and produced by Michael McCabe.
It's been a terrible 10 years, Dave. She gets hysterical at the drop of a hat.
Leave her any day now, you know. Carried away in a fit of laughter.
R.I.P.
Give me a drink.
Do you know what the time is?
And the clue.
That one was nearer. What is the time? My friends, the hour is 3 of the morning.
Oh, night is young. Drink.
That's not what you're going to be saying at 6:30 when Steve wakes up.
Why isn't it Christmas Day yet? Why? I want it to be Christmas Day now.
You're not to be mentally deficient.
He is.
Oh. They say the father always gives the favorite the toughest time. What's it like to be back on the island again after so long, Dave? Oh, 10 years.
Children, bye-byes. Dave, you're staying till the new year, and that's that. No argument. In which case... there's a whole week to hear the Fletcher impressions on returning to my island home. Bed.
Only half past. Did you say?
Dawn's coming. Look. It's going to be wet tomorrow, too. Today, I should say. Bed. Go and take the chill off the sheets.
You do look tired, dear Johnny.
Publish me, thank heaven.
I wasn't so happy for that one. The bees weren't too. Oh, what's up? Lightning out, see there. Yeah.
Where did that come from?
What?
Oh, a picture. Painting.
We earthed it out of the cellar. Pretty, isn't she?
She's exquisite. Hold the candle. No.
wandered out of Aston Purdy the 8th in the Chateau near Tuttle in 91. I was looking for something to burn at the time. I've never been able to chop down even the boat trees around here. It was a darn cold winter. Only a couple of years ago. We dusted her up, and there she is. We'll have to have a proper look tomorrow. She's about 900 years old. Tons of a wash away my carriages. Okay, Dave. Room's all ready. Just put a hot water bottle in, too, so your feet won't freeze off.
Oi! You still there?
I was still there. Although it was no longer possible to see the painting of the lady I'd seen in the light of the flickering candle Chris had held. I turned and followed him. Said goodnight. Went to my room. The lattice-windowed room that looked out over the cliffs to the Solent and beyond the mist, the mainland. At 4:20, I was still awake. There was a bright moon now. The clouds seemed to have lifted. I watched the moon scudding about in the night sky for a bit, and then, lighting a candle, I went out into the old paneled corridor to find her again, because it was the memory of her that kept me awake, just as that unbelievably beautiful face has disturbed my rest on a thousand nights since. I don't know how long I had stood in that drafty Christmas passageway, looking up at the long dead face, when the lightning made the house on the cliffs bright as day for a moment in time, and the thunder that followed 7 seconds later shook the Farringfords' home back to its genesis.
Did Star Granny, sir, with the lightning for the poor one? Sophie is a vegan who would later have engaged a venerable Master Diamond to carry out the commission. But Master Diamond, I hear, is so young, it is easy to swear an artist must have experienced the joys and sorrows of life to execute a likeness to another man. Then pray how in God's sweet land could the venerable Diamond have painted? Is it not the strangest thing imaginable that such as he should be termed venerable? Is it an appendage applied only to persons of age, perhaps? How vain I am to stand before a painting of myself. Won't I come down to the dance, sir?
Forgive me. Who are you?
Sir? Thousand pardons, sir. Did thou come to Bainbridge with a vessel coach? Art thou the American gentleman? If thou art the American gentleman, pardon me, sir, for feeling the mutiny. But I swore thou would be good enough to tell Sophie and myself about the fierce Western men who inhabit part of thy land.
I'm sorry. Who are you?
Oh, the Mitchell Bain, sir. I beg your pardon, sir, but who should I be?
No,
In dreams of our dress is a perfect delight. Thou hast come to the ball in the disguise of a redskin. I swear there shall be no more, and papa shall be delighted.
The air was full of sounds. The place where I stood was the same, and yet it was not the same. New smells assailed my nostrils, but I knew feel about the very air that surrounded me. And before me, come down from the picture it seemed, come into life, was there aren't any words. If I say beautiful, delightful, exquisite, lovely, divine,
nail of the sword contains a word that would do her justice. She was the girl in the painting. Her name was Annabelle. And she stood before me. And I saw her in candlelight mingled with moonlight that streamed through the window directly behind her. She was fair, and her hair reached to her waist. It was made in a style unfamiliar to me then. She wore a ball gown of a shade of blue I'd never seen before and never have since. But this may have been the effect of the moonlight. I don't know. I lifted the candle higher, and the burning wax dropped onto my cuff and my wrist, but I felt nothing. Oh, the sweep of that lovely hair. The full, wonderful lips that held both sensuality and maidenliness in their slight departed, inquiring attitude. There was the hint of a smile as well. The eyes were laughing, and yet they were serious too. The eyes seemed gray, I couldn't say for sure. My candle was beginning to stutter. I was afraid of losing the light, afraid of losing the vision before me. Her head was inclined slightly to the left. A frown appeared upon her forehead, making her beauty greater, if anything. The men were playing music somewhere. Music not of this age, played by men who are not of my time born. And Annabelle Trevelyan and I stood as if frozen, mesmerized, while a younger moon swam and sailed like a galleon held unwilling captive by fighting clouds out through the window, where the gardens reach to the cliffs of Bembridge.
Who are you, sir? Thou art the American who is to visit us for the Christmas tide. But I cannot know if I arrive here, just like that here for me.
No, I'm not the American. Not American.
But then,
Annabelle.
David. Has thou come in from Freshwater?
Christmas. It's Christmas time.
Yes. Christmas 1727, by the grace of God. Back to the ancient kings. My good sister.
Yes?
I see her eyes.
I can't. I can see nothing.
I dreamed of her. Lying in the wheat field.
Dreaming?
A gentleman from another place. And he came to Bunbury, you must see. It was your face, sir.
You dreamed this?
Really, darling. And the gentleman did take my hand.
I have your hand.
But it's strange, apparently. She said, kiss. Will I kiss the kiss?
Annabelle? Annabelle? Annabelle?
Please, sir, I pray. Do not raise thy voice.
Annabelle, please. Don't be afraid. I promise I won't harm you. I promise. I couldn't harm you. I love you.
The gentleman in the dream, sir. Is he my friend?
Dave, it's my name. Don't call me sir.
Not sir.
No.
Did I understand? But
in your dream, this man...
The stranger.
The stranger. Who was he? What?
Has he been
another place? Another time.
He swore his love.
I love you, love you.
Started to start to love the stranger.
Tell me quickly. There isn't much time.
I love thee. Although I do not know thee, my heart is full of love. But I fear greatly. Why shouldst I fear, David? I love the storms across the field. I love to watch.
I mean, it was a storm that brought us together.
A storm?
And I'm afraid the storm will... Annabelle, your dream, this dream, do you know who he was, the stranger?
Who was he?
Yes, but where I came from, do you know, can you guess?
I think I am from another land. I speak...
Another land? I come from no more than a few feet away, but in time, centuries separate us.
It is a risk for the whole of this life of mine. I have waited for you, gentle lover. I shall have to inform Papa that from another far country.
No, you must tell him nothing, because you see, you must understand.
For the whole of my life, I have waited for him to traverse the seas and walk the island path.
I knew that I didn't have more than a few more minutes with her. I couldn't hope to explain to her what I thought had happened, because what had happened was impossible. I heard the approaching storm. The sky was illuminated by brilliant flashes of ancient lightning, and by these flashes I saw her lovely face, and by every stab of light her face grew lovelier.
If it was terrible, David, upon Christmas day you were equipped to countenance to the morning sun.
Yes, smells of summer.
Oh, green flowers, winter of the forest. There was snow upon the field and the grassy.
I want to see the snow. And by successive flashes of lightning, now I saw the fields around Bembridge and the cliffs and the bay. It was a strange, white, beautiful, empty world I looked upon. A world I've mourned for since, oh so many times. A world in which a man might walk and run with his beloved for hours, for days, and never meet a single soul other than his heart's delight. A world unpolluted. A world of beauty, of poetry. My world. But I was born by mistake, out of my time. In the bay of Bembridge, tall masted ships appeared frozen into that ancient sea. I've spent a lifetime searching for you, a lifetime.
We shall never come apart again, my love. We shall not be together.
Annabelle, I brought her right hand, her beautiful hand, up to my cheek. Her fingers explored my face in the darkness. By lightning, her face was solemn. I felt the tears falling. I begged her not to cry and tried clumsily, hopelessly, to explain to her that I couldn't stay alive. Instinctively what the message in the thunder was. It would carry me back over a distance of time. On her hand was a ring. I begged her to give me the ring, and she agreed readily, but I knew that I would never be allowed to carry anything with me on the strangest journey of all.
In the garden, close by the spring where the brook overflows and water names, David, stands the Bembridge oak. It is said that a Norman knight did plant it at the time of the conquest. On the northern side, not far from the east, the oak is scarred and made an indentation there. In which shall I place my ring?
No, somewhere safe.
But an oak has stood for...
There are axes and men and oaks can be chopped down. This house, somewhere in this house.
Here? But how is it, my love? How is it?
Annabelle, I come from another... In my time, this house is still standing. Please, where?
In the library in the northern room. If thou departest from me, then I shall secret this ring.
Where?
The monk's den. Oh, never in all the world is the sky so angry. Lightning like day.
The thunder's coming. The loudest of all. Goodbye.
No.
Please, the ring.
Oh, can't you see all these terrible electric storms? Dave?
He's looking at the picture again. Got to think about her, haven't you, old son? Blimey, not worth going back to bed. Let's have some tea and decorate.
How'd you know about the library?
That was pulled down before I ever knew you, wasn't it?
Yes, that whole wing went,
when I was a kid.
Oh, now, it's gone.
Yes, right. What's up? I'm glad they did pull the place down, actually.
Otherwise, we'd never have had our family heirloom.
Hmm?
Look, isn't it beautiful?
Oh, only allowed to wear it in high days and holidays, mate. Very precious. Dad found it behind the paneling in a sort of cubbyhole cupboard place.
Oh, darling, not cubbyhole. It's where during the persecution of the Catholics, they...
Let me see. Yes.
Hmm?
Quite a few bits and pieces in there, so my dad told me. Letters, bits of rag,
all in a box.
It's letters.
What's darling, the... You're most obvious.
Where are the letters?
Just a moment.
I haven't a clue, old son. More tea?
Chris, petal love, forgive me, but it's important. Have you... I mean, are the letters still...
Well, I never saw them. I suppose the old boy heaved them away. I mean, there wasn't anything that...
She wrote to me. Oh, yes, she did. I'll never have the proof, because the letters were never found. But I don't require any proof. You might, but I don't care about that. I know what I know, and she wrote to me. Perhaps the next day. And her ring. Her ring was on the hand of Bethel Farringford, her ring, from all those years away. I had nothing of her but a memory more vivid, recalled in flashes of lightning than people I've known all my life. In fact, their faces fade. I can't remember them clearly. I only see her face. My poor dear friends, Bethel and Chris, thought I'd taken leave of my senses, because that Christmas, whilst most of the island people were celebrating, I toured the churchyards of Bembridge and Sandown, Active Bay, and even as far as Ryde. I found what I was looking for in the end. My patience was rewarded. It was overgrown, and I had to carefully clean the weathered stone to read, "In loving memory of Annabel, only daughter of the Trevelyans of Bembridge, born April the 15th, 1718. Died February the 4th, 1738. 20 years old. I had loved her a few days before Christmas 1737. She died a little more than a month afterwards. With a broken heart, she wrote words to another who had yet to be born, and yet he had kissed her and sworn his love for her. And I shall keep that love holy. There's no one I can ever love now. Only her memory. I have the painting, The servants gave it to me. I don't look at it often, though. Somehow my memory is purer. The picture's likeness fades, and the face I see when I close my eyes brightens. Thunder took me to her, and thunder took me from her. Annabelle Trevelyan.